what would we look like as a church? And what would I look like as an individual if I was more exposed on a regular basis to the manifest presence of God?
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Chicago. My name is Joshua Halleck. I'm here with Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church. Pastor Mark, this is an incredible series, Presence, the Presence of God. And your title of this message is, Have You Seen Him Yet? From Isaiah chapter 6. You know, there's a lot of people who go to church. There's a lot of people who claim to be Christians. But a lot of us are missing something powerful. What do you feel like is one of the main things believers are missing?
You know, Joshua, this passage is so powerful because it really reminds us of how big God is. I believe that a lot of people today have pocket-sized gods. The God that you embrace is a God that you can manipulate, that you can make deals with, that you can bring out like a rabbit's foot. When you need him, you bring him out, and then you kind of forget about him. He's a God that you use, but the real God, the God of the Bible, is not that way. Isaiah chapter 6 exposes Isaiah to this high, lofty, supreme, powerful, unapproachable God that blows his mind. And he needed that to be able to serve God the way God deserved to be served.
Why do you think more of us don't experience this kind of presence of God?
I think that a lot of us are uncomfortable with who God really is. And we are consumers. We want enough God that we can use him, but not so much of God that he changes us and cramps our style. We want enough that we have connections upstairs, but not enough that we have to be transformed and humbled. And so, but we don't get to choose that, Joshua. God is who he is, and we don't get to choose what size he is. He is high and lifted up. Most of us have a very small view of who God really is.
That's good. This message is titled, Have You Seen Him Yet? So buckle up. Here we go. Isaiah chapter 6.
The most powerful, transformative force on earth is not nuclear power. It's not atomic power. It's the presence of God. There is something so profound, so vast, so three-dimensional that it doesn't just touch the material world, it touches the invisible world as well. It's the presence of God. And I've been asking myself this question, God, what would we look like as a church? And what would I look like as an individual if I was and if we were more exposed on a regular basis to the manifest presence of God? What if the presence of God were more powerfully manifest among us? And what if we became normal, everyday carriers of the presence of God in a fresh new way? What would we look like as a church if you were to move in such a powerful way, God, that everybody that walked through those doors would know something's different about this church? God is present there. I can't explain it, but I felt him. I can't describe it, but I know he's there. There's something that I can't put my finger on because it's intangible, it's invisible, but I know God is among those people. What would we look like if we were saturated, dunked, like sponges, full of the manifest presence of God? Because the longer you are exposed to something, the more it influences you. I need to say that again. The longer and the more intensely you are exposed to something, the more it has the power to alter your character, your DNA, and who you are. There's a school not too far away from here, about three blocks away, called Curie High School. How many of you went to Curie High School? Raise your hand. Wow. How many of you have good memories from Curie High School? How many of you have bad memories from Curie High School? How many of your teachers have terrible memories of you? Curie High School is named after Marie Curie. And those of you that are Curie, from Curie or graduates, probably know this. But Marie Curie was a scientist, a chemist, a physicist that was active at the turn of the century. And she did a lot of research and study on an area that had not really been tapped into up until that time, and it was radioactivity. And it's evolved, and we talk about radiation now, but radioactivity. And so they were just studying radioactivity and its effect and how to harness it. And in fact, she coined the term radioactive or radioactivity. And it was her research that led to a lot of breakthrough in a lot of areas of technology that now we use radiation in. Her husband joined her in her research. His name was Pierre. He left his research and decided that this is so important that he would devote himself to it as well. He was run over by a horse and carriage in 1906, so he died. But his wife continued to do her research and she lived. However, what she did not know is she did not know the harmful effects of radiation at that time because it wasn't known. And so she would do lectures about radioactivity, and she would carry some radioactive substance in two small vials that she would often carry in her pocket, in her purse, or on her without knowing that that radioactivity was exposing her to dangerous elements. Eventually, she died from exposure to radioactivity. Prolonged, intense exposure led to her death without her even knowing it. In fact, you can't read her notes in her research right now. There's a museum dedicated to her, and researchers that go read her notes are not allowed to read her notes because they're so contaminated with radioactivity that you have to put on special suits to see it, and they're kept in lead boxes because the radioactivity is so high on those notes. She did not know that she was being exposed to something that was having long-term damaging effects on her body. As I thought and read about Marie Curie, I thought about the presence of God and how it also has the power to change us, but not in a negative way, in a positive way if we allow it to. Prolonged, strong, deep, intense exposure to the presence of God will alter our character, will change our spiritual DNA, and will transform us as individuals if we allow it to. Some of us are not changed because we have so little exposure to the presence of God. We have so little contact with His presence in intense, powerful ways that it barely affects our lives because we're not exposed in a way that is intense enough, is powerful enough, it's deep enough. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that out of Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6 is a profound passage in which a man has an encounter with the presence of God that turns his life around. Isaiah the prophet was never the same after this encounter with God. I want to begin reading in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on the throne. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces. With two wings, they covered their feet. And with two, they were flying. And they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.' At the sound of their voices, the doorpost and the threshold shook, and the temple was full of smoke." Word of the Lord. I want to talk to you about this encounter that Isaiah had with the presence of God and the effect that it had on his life, and how you and I also need to be deeply affected by encounters with the presence of God. He starts out this passage by simply saying, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Isaiah the prophet became one of the most compelling prophets of the Old Testament, and he was in the temple, in the house of God, praying probably. It doesn't tell us exactly what he was doing, but he was in the temple, and he had a vision of God that would sabotage the small vision he had of God and give him a huge vision of who God really is. I think we have a compelling problem in our culture and our society today is that we have created God in the wrong image. Our vision of God is way too small. It was what was happening in the days of Isaiah. Now, let me give you a little bit of background, because it says in the year that King Uzziah died, and I want you to know what was happening that year because it gives you insight into the context of what Isaiah was dealing with. Uzziah had become king when he was 16 years old, and he had reigned as king for 52 years. He was, by all accounts, the beginning of his reign, he was a good king. He sought the Lord. He did justice. Prosperity was rampant in the land. He brought security to the borders. There was no major threat. People revered him and respected him as a good king that had brought the nation of Israel to a good place. But something happened. Oh, yeah. Because you can't always depend on what you did yesterday to take you through today and tomorrow. People change if they don't watch their heart. Amen. You see, what started out as a good king, suddenly there was a shift that took place. We don't know exactly where that took place, but it seems to be that Uzziah started to believe his own press. He started to become a little cocky, a little arrogant, a little conceited, a little egocentrical. The power went to his head. He had been a good king. There was no rivals. People around him, like what happens with some politicians and leaders, people around him were always praising him, telling him what a good job that he was doing. And it seems to me like that elevated his sense of himself, and he started to view himself in a higher light than really had. And arrogance and pride, the Bible says, always lead to a fall.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled The Presence of God, which is from Pastor Mark's brand new series called Presence. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of our message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 6. We're in verses 1 through 16. Tonight's Straight Talk is called The Presence of God.
Such was his arrogance and pride that one day he decided that he would go to the temple and offer sacrifices on the altar of incense. Although that doesn't seem like something bad to do, the only people that were authorized to offer sacrifice on the altar in the temple were the priests that came from the line of Aaron. Uzziah knew that he wasn't authorized, that God had said, no, only priests can offer the sacrifice. But because of his arrogance, it tells us in 2 Chronicles that Uzziah marched into the temple. You can read about this incident in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 16 through 20. Uzziah marches boldly down the street into the temple, past the outer courts with an entourage of people. The high priest opposes him. Azariah and 81 other priests, they confront him and say, King, you can't offer sacrifice. Get back into your place. Uzziah is enraged. Who are you to tell the king what to do? You know who I am. I'm Uzziah. Get out of my way. I can do whatever I choose to do. And as he went to the altar to offer sacrifice, enraged and mad at the priest, the Bible says that suddenly leprosy broke out on his forehead. His entourage looked at him with leprosy breaking out of on his forehead. And when he realized what had happened, he ran out of the temple. He died 10 years later, his body ravaged with leprosy, a flesh-eating disease in which fingers and skin fall off your body as you smell like putrid skin. It's a horrendous way to die. Isaiah was in the temple shortly after Uzziah had died. Fear invaded his soul, wondering what's going to happen with Israel now that the king has died. The Assyrians were getting stronger. And God decides, Isaiah, the problem with the culture that you live in and the problem that Uzziah had is that you have a small view of God. That your view of God is way too small. I started thinking about our culture and thinking, you know what? We have the same problem that Isaiah had in his culture. Most people's view of God is way too small. In fact, I believe that by and large, our society has bought into pocket-sized gods. Gods we can control. Gods we can use for our purposes. Almost like a rabbit's foot. God, here are you. I'm going to put you in my pocket. And if I get into trouble, I'm going to pull you out. And hopefully you can help me because you're my good luck charm. I don't want to live for you. I don't want you to tell me how I live. I don't want you to tell me how to talk. I don't want you to run my life. I don't want to have to really be too committed, too radical. I don't want to really have to serve you too much or sacrifice. But I do want to make sure that when I'm in trouble, I can just pull out my little rabbit's foot and say, hey, remember me? We got a deal going. Could you help me out? That's a God you can control, manipulate, use at your discretion. That's a bobblehead God. We live in a society in which you may not call him a bobblehead God, but that's the kind of God that oftentimes we embrace. A God that we can manipulate. A God that you can convince and make deals with. He's often referred to as the man upstairs. Let me tell you, the man upstairs is that grouchy old guy that makes a lot of noise on the second floor, but he's not God. Uzziah, when he existed, people in his culture had multiple gods. God was one of the gods among multiple gods. We live in a culture now that's called a pluralistic culture in which every god is embraced and every god is tried to put on an equal plane. People say, well, all religions lead to the same place. As you have your God, I have my God. You have your religion, I have my religion. You have your faith. We're all the same pretty much is what we're told. And don't try to elevate your God above my God because then that would be sort of prejudiced or bigotry or self-centered because all of our gods are on the same place. We've reduced all of gods to the same manipulated, consumeristic gods that you can control and ask favors for them when you want. God decided to tell Isaiah, I'm not that God. I'm going to give you a vision of who I really am. You want to know who I am? I'm not the God that Uzziah thought he could come into the temple court and manipulate me. I will show you who I am. And the Bible says that in the year King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. Let me tell you something about your vision of God. Your vision of who God is determines how you approach life and how you see yourself in life. How you see God tells you something about your purpose in life and how you see yourself in life as well. If you have a distorted wrong view of God, you have a distorted wrong view of yourself as well. God needs to be seen clearly for who He is, not a made up version of God. In Romans chapter 1, it says, man created God in his own image and created God sort of in what they wanted God to be, a manipulated utilitarian God that they could tell what to do or manipulate or make exchanges with, or if you do this for me, I'll do that for you. But He's a God that people can control. Isaiah says, I was in the temple, I was praying, and God decided to say, Isaiah, I'm not a bobblehead God. I'm not a pocket-sized God. I'm not a little rabbit's foot. I'm going to show you who I am. I'm going to give you a glimpse of who I am. I'm going to open up your eyes for a minute to the spiritual world, and you're going to be able to see the God that you're serving. Sometimes I think that we've confused our vision of God so much that we've lost our reverence for God, our fear of God, our wonder and awe of who God really is. So I'm going to clean the window of your spiritual glasses, and hopefully you can see a glimpse of what Isaiah saw on that day in the temple. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. He was high and exalted. Not a little God, not a God that I could manipulate, but I saw Him although I was small. He looked high, lifted up and exalted. And He was in the temple. And He was seated on a throne that invokes power and authority and sovereignty. He was not a God that was subject. He was a God that was in control, a God that seated on the throne of power and authority. And the train of God's robe, the train of His robe filled the entire temple that Isaiah was at. He saw the cloud of smoke coming from the throne of God as though it were the train that surrounds the train of His glory. And He says, and above Him, above the throne, were seraphim. Seraphim is one type of angel. There's cherubims and seraphims. The word seraph means to burn, probably from their fiery color. And He describes what the angels were doing around this huge throne that existed in the temple. And He said, and above Him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings, these angelic beings covered their face, symbolizing the fact that they could not gaze upon the holiness of God themselves. And so they covered their face to shield themselves from the brilliance of His holiness. And with two wings, they covered their feet, because feet in the Jewish culture was the dirtiest thing that you could expose. It was where humanity meets earth. And so they covered their feet to cover the dirt, symbolic, the dirt of who they were. So with two wings, they covered their face, and with two wings, they covered their feet, and with the other two wings, they flew. And Isaiah says, I saw them high and lifted up, and these seraphims flew in concentric circles around the throne of this almighty being, and I heard their voices call out. Not small, wimpy voices, but the voices of these angelic beings were so powerful, so thunderous, so deep, so bass-filled that the entire temple began to shake as they spoke to one another. And they were saying in echo form to one to the other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. And one seraphim echoed that, and another seraphim called out to another. And in this thunderous voice, they kept repeating, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Adonai Almighty. All of the earth is full of the glory of God.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Presence. And tonight was the second half of his message called The Presence of God. Please do join us again on the next Straight Talk for the next part of our series. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. And there you will also find other helpful tools to help you in your walk with God. If you prefer to have a CD of the message, please contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's book, Unstuck, is also available for only $10 plus shipping. If you are looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations in and around Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend, and we'll see you on Monday. God bless.